Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is Dr. Tim Kimmel. For over 40 years, our ministry has been teaching people all over the globe how to turn God's act of grace into the defining feature of their closest relationships. We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hey, Karis.
Hi, Michelle.
You and I were just chatting about adolescence and teens and tweens and
young adult children.
Yes, asking for money and us trying to figure, like, you're the nice parent that was like, okay, you're a good kid. And I'm like, you need to go earn your money on the street corner selling lemonade. So we come from different perspectives.
And your sons are just so industrious, too. They're always wanting to have some side hustle.
Probably out of necessity, because the mean mom won't
they have everything that they could need
they want.
And my kids are the same way. And it's just been, I think it's interesting now that they're young adults, just kind of playing that balance, because they're both in school full time. They do both have jobs, but sometimes there's just some expenses that are a little out of range. And so trying to decide how to handle those is a challenge,
yes.
You know?
So today we're going to talk about that. Like, what are some basic steps that we can do as parents and for folks listening to help kids transition from childlike ways to adulthood without wading in the swamp of irresponsibility or laziness, if you will, for too long. Now, obviously, we all have bouts of that, and we still do as adults, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But we're talking about this prolonged inability to mature.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's a little bit of a problem created by the modern world that we live in. You know, it used to be you went to school like through the eighth grade if you were lucky, and then you worked on the farm and you got married, you had babies, and that happened earlier because people didn't live as long, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now we have these prolonged lives. We have, people have extended educations, which is all very good. And people tend to get married a little later. So it almost seems like there's this sort of prolonged adolescence that we have now that it kind of just happened. And I don't know that anybody really sat down and said, oh, what do we do about this? You know, or is this even a problem? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what we're going to talk about today.
And I watch a lot of reality TV, as you know.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about like one gal in particular who's like, I don't know, 29, 30. And, you know, she doesn't have a job. She lives at home. She's trying to make it as like a, I don't know, Instagram model or influencer. Yeah. I don't know if she's in school or not, but she just has this expectation that mommy and daddy are going to continue to bankroll that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're talking about today, like, how can we help avoid some of those frustrations where the parents are frustrated? Like, okay, it's time to get out of the basement. Stop playing video games.
Yeah.
Go get a job.
Yeah.
Like you said, that window is getting bigger and bigger. And men used to, you know, graduate and go into the military or go into their trade. And now there's this, you know, whether you go to college or not or hop into a career, just want to help.
Yeah. And there's some economic realities that I want to acknowledge that exist now that are different. And and so I do think it can be hard for someone on their own, even with a good job, to avoid or to afford rent in their community. And so, you do have to get creative. And then you have to take that into account, thinking about like, okay, how can I, if I'm going to help my kid financially, how can I help them in a way that, the way my dad says it, is giving them a hand up instead of a handout?
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
And so we'll talk through all these things. And again, like, I feel like I'm living this a little bit right now. Yeah. So some of these are like, are you in my head? Like, are you spying on me in my own home? Because I just have these same struggles. So
that's awesome. My 11-year-old asked me yesterday, can I get a bank card? I'm like, for what? And he has a little bit of money because of all his lemonade stand hustling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but okay, so you're going to get a debit card and just take out that money and spend it on like sodas or what? And he's like, well, I don't know. I just feel like, I'm like, how about we get a card when you have like a steady stream of income? Like,
yeah.
You don't. And so it will just deplete down to nothing.
Right.
I mean, that's just, again, me being the controlling mom. Well, and I love teaching about money and how to manage that. But, yeah.
Yeah. 11 might be a little young, but that definitely comes that, you know, that time comes where it's like you want to just teach them, okay, how do you make a deposit in the bank? How do you pull money out? I mean, my girls have seen me write checks for years because I still have a couple of bills in my life that have to be paid that way, but like people don't use checks anymore. Yeah. I don't know how to write checks. So I sound like such an old lady right now, like people don't know how to write checks anymore. But honestly, if nobody ever teaches you this stuff, why would you know?
Right. It's a lot of training involved here with all exactly. these things.
So the first I think thing we can keep in mind as we're thinking about how to navigate this, I don't know, transition with our kids where they go from us meeting all their needs to them being able to meet some of their own needs and certainly some of their wants. And so the first thing to keep in mind is to understand exactly what forward thinking love for a child requires. And I think the forward thinking love is the key phrase there.
Yeah. And this reminds me of your dad's definition of love that we use here all the time at Grace-Based Families, that love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost. So it's not in a child's best interest to accommodate their laziness or their irresponsibility or their self-indulgence if we are setting them up to make bad choices and encouraging bad behaviors, then we're part of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, it can feel in the moment like it's loving to give in or to give them what they want. But when we're thinking about the future, it's that forward thinking love that we look at and we go, is this in their best interest in the long term?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then we have to work backwards from there and say, okay, what do I need to be doing now or not doing now that shows them that forward thinking love and prepares them for a world that it is not really going to suffer fools, you know, right. Like it's not kind or loving to send our kids out into this harsh world unprepared. And nobody does it perfectly, but obviously it's a goal.
And I think we have to make it far more personally costly for our kids to take the adolescent path, if you will, and I'm saying the adolescent as like a person who has an adult body, you know, like a 14, 15, 16 year old, and wants all the freedoms of adulthood, but doesn't want any of the responsibilities that go with them.
Yeah.
And I think if we make it hard for them to make irresponsible choices, make it a little just like uncomfortable, or there's some discipline, some consequences, they're going to be a lot quicker to want to mature and turn from that and take a different, more attractive path that's less frustrating.
Well, and that's simply good discipline, and it's loving and gracious because it's for their best interest and their own good.
Yeah.
You know, another thing to keep in mind is don't allow anyone or anything to rob your children of their years of childhood. So, you know, we kind of immediately started focusing on that transition to adulthood. But I think what makes that so good and so exciting is if kids have been allowed up until that point to live a childlike life, to kind of keep that childhood wonder, have a lot of time to play and to develop interests and to learn. There are some things that can really encroach on that.
Yeah.
Like, if we're not careful.
Right. And we were talking about this in a recent episode where when you have a one dimension, singly focused kid that's focused on theater or dance or academics or athletics, whatever it is, they usually don't live a balanced childhood.
Yeah.
And when I think about like Tiger Woods, for example, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a fascinating documentary right there. But he, from like age two or three, his dad was training him to be a professional golfer. And as an adult, I think some of the reasons he acted out is because he didn't have a childhood. He didn't have an adolescence. He was so focused on golf and being successful in golf. Same with like Michael Jackson. Right.
Yeah,
like he was exactly a star from day one, and his parents were pushing him into this, you know, single focused, star studded lifestyle. And he didn't have a childhood that was taken from him. Another thing we were just talking about, a different documentary we were watching. And I think sometimes when there are a lot of kids or younger kids and older kids, the older kids sometimes get put into a parenting role too soon, where they're helping out their siblings, but not just, I mean, helping out is great. That's teaching them responsibility, teaching them how to take care of a family. But we're talking like when those kids are raising their younger siblings, that can steal their childhood.
Yeah, I think the term that I heard for that is parentification, right? And so, again, we're not talking about when you have multiple kids in the family and you give the kids responsibilities and your older kids might help the younger kids with things. That's a perfectly normal
or
good,
babysit for short periods of time.
Right, for short periods of time. That's a perfectly normal, I think, family dynamic that a lot of families with multiple kids are going to experience. But I know what documentary you're thinking of, and these are families where the older, I'll say children, but it was the girls almost exclusively that were basically paired up with a younger child and expected to raise them. Mm-hmm. And that steals childhood because you're instantly put into this role that, you know, you didn't get to pick for yourself that this is what you wanted to do. And I think it's really easy when we think about, you know, robbing children of their childhood to think of some of our, like, you know, childhood actor stars and, you know, some of their stories and how that doesn't go well for them. You know, that fame and that fortune at an early age catches up with them real fast. But those are extreme examples. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast is struggling with, you know, navigating their child being a star. I think much more likely for us and for our listeners are things like sports or activities becoming so all-encompassing that it kind of robs your kid of their autonomy for what they actually want to do with their time, and it just robs them of that nothing time.
Yeah,
like kids' brains need a lot of just nothing time. Mm-hmm. Unstructured play, unstructured time where they just can kind of blah, or they can entertain themselves, or they come up with creative things to do. And that's really, really needed and important for a developing brain. I think the other thing that is much more likely to rob our children of their childhood is if we're not careful about media with them, different forms of media. So movies that they watch, music that they listen to, different social media or programming that they see, video games, you know. And again, I sound like an old lady here, but exposure to certain types of those things, and especially the volume at which they take this in, how much do they consume of these things, really can rob them of some of that innocence and simply of time, that blah time, that unstructured time that they need to just disengage from the media and the screens and go outside and make a dirt clod or something, you know, like
so
I think that that's a really important thing to keep in mind is not allowing anyone or anything to rob our children of their years of childhood.
Yeah, because if you have a really rich childhood where you've spent over a decade creating, playing, strewing around the yard, doing whatever you do, you're going to hopefully have the skills and the beginnings of some character qualities to start having some self-efficacy and some responsibility and some focus to launch into the adult years without feeling like that childhood was robbed from you, or you're not prepared,
or you're forced to grow up too fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And so the third thing that I think really helps, this is more a principle than anything else, is that adult freedoms are earned, not assumed. Hmm. You know, there's a direct correlation between freedom and personal responsibility. Yeah. Right? You know, those two things need to go hand in hand, or you have a recipe for entitlement and then also irresponsibility, because if they're not prepared to handle that freedom, then it's much more likely that they're going to misuse that freedom, and all of our kids are going to make mistakes. But, right. You know, this is a good principle to keep in mind as we're deciding, you know, when is the right time for our kid to get a cell phone? When's the right time for them to have a debit card like your son asked mm-hmm. for? When's the right time for them to be able to get their driver's license and operate a vehicle and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And I think we always say to our kids, look, here's this privilege or this responsibility. Now, it will be gone in a second if you are disrespectful, ungrateful, acting entitled, you know, yeah. whatever that privilege is, a phone or, you know, the ability to have a sleepover at this person's house or whatever, yeah. you know, the thing is of the week. And I think as kids get older, there could be this mindset. I remember I went to college with people that it's like, okay, my parents are paying for my dorm, my school, my books, my meal plan, and all these things. And it's assumed. Like, why wouldn't I get all this stuff? And yet they're not willing to even, you know, work a part-time campus job or call their parents back or, you know, like just common courtesy type things. Just like, again, that entitled kind of disrespectful attitude. I think as parents, we can quickly pull in the reins. It's easier when they're younger. If you teach them this younger, as they're older, I would assume it gets harder.
It does. It does. But we need to kind of always keep that in mind. And I think it's only fair to our kids that we have open discussions with them about expectations. You know, okay, this is this privilege, but here's the expectations. Here's how you're expected to treat this. Mm-hmm. I wrote an article, and then this was also included as a supplement in my book, Grace-Based Discipline. But we talk about, you know, the digital age and some truths to keep in mind. And so this makes me think of how, you know, we need to have discussions with our kids on the type of behavior that is acceptable for them online, because so much of our kids' lives now is lived in this digital space. They have, I mean, the digital world is the real world to them. Mm-hmm. You know, they have friends online, they have communities that they're part of. And that's a good thing, but they need to be aware that we expect the same character from them online as off.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not something that would be kind to say to someone's face, it's not something that would be kind to say online. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, bullying isn't acceptable, and, you know, dishonesty isn't acceptable. And so I think spelling that out for them is our responsibility as parents. Yeah. You know, we can't just expect them to know.
For sure.
We do need to say, hey, you know, I'm going to allow you to borrow my car for this thing, but I expect it to come back, you know, without McDonald's bags all over it.
Right.
And, you know, if you spill something, you clean it up. And if you use some gas, you replace it, kind of a thing. And so then they're set up to at least know what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they do it, then you can be clear and say, okay, you knew the expectation and you chose not to, you know, to uphold that. And so here's the consequence.
Right. And I think it's giving them the freedom. We talk a lot about giving kids freedom to make mistakes, whatever. This is giving them the freedom when you communicate to them, yes, I will give you this responsibility. These are my expectations.
Right.
The freedom to mature in that area. Right. And instead of a license to like just self-destruct of, sure, you can go to college, go away to out of state, do whatever you want, spend whatever you want, fail all the classes, whatever. Like, oops, I didn't tell you, like, this is what we expect from you. We expect that if you're about to fail out, you let us know so we can withdraw you in time to save that money for whatever.
Right.
You know, like just having that open line of dialogue. I was surprised to see in Proverbs 17:16, there's actually a verse that says, it is senseless to pay to educate a fool since he has no heart for learning. I'm like, whoa, okay, interesting.
I think I met some of those people in college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe I was one of those people in college at one point.
This is encouraging for me. I will definitely be communicating to our kids. Like, look, we're going to go into this together if they're choosing to go down the college path. But like, I'm not going to be senseless and just throw good money at bad if you're not interested in education and learning and in
doing the work that it takes to obtain a degree. Because some of it's intelligence, most of it is just organization and hard work and
steadfastness.
Exactly.
Very annoying and long.
Yes.
Well, our last principle here is to raise kids focused upward and serving outward. When kids are raised in an environment that encourages them to assume that they are the center of their world, then we shouldn't be surprised when they're grownups, but they act like kids and they act super childish.
Yeah.
Because they think the world revolves around them. And we know people like that as adults that were probably raised with that idea in their mind. Like, I can do anything. My parents will rescue anything. I can constantly drop the ball, be lazy, and I'll be rescued.
Yeah. Well, and I think, nothing solves selfishness faster than serving others. Mm-hmm. And I think it also solves things like, insecurity, self-focus, and times when we're just really like, man, life stinks for me right now. And that can be for very real reasons. I've certainly been through a lot in the last couple of years where I've felt sorry for myself. But I think something about serving is just magical almost, in that it takes your eyes off of yourself. You can focus on someone else's needs, and it actually makes you feel good to help and to serve, knowing that you're doing something powerful and meaningful with your time and your skills and your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it becomes a default mode of their heart and of their life. And as they, like you said, grow into adulthood, they're serving their spouse, they're serving their coworkers and their folks in their neighborhood. And there's just a lot of kingdom work and potential that can go a long way when you have a heart that has been trained to look for opportunities to serve others. So really, it's kind of simple math. Whether we raise our kid in a way that makes it easy for them to like do the treacherous, hard terrain of adolescence, and that could last for a very long time, as we talked about, where they're living in your basement for 15 years, or we move them towards the more respectful, responsible, and reliable path. Both paths take a lot of work. Right. We're going to be like having a lot of frustration and beating our head against the wall here if they're not meeting our expectations and we're not communicating with them and they're just making these really hard choices into adulthood, versus really just coaching them into becoming an adult that kind of goes through adolescence like a cakewalk, because they're realizing, I want to serve others. I want to, think of, I realize that God is the center of my universe, not myself.
Right.
I want to be respectful. I want to be honoring. I know it's easier said than done.
Yeah. Well, it's not about being perfect with it, but I think it all starts with intention as a parent. And, so that's what we hope we were able to kind of cause you guys to think about today as we're talking through this together, is just that intentionality. And it's never too late. It's never too early to start having those clear intentions for raising kids who become truly great adults.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Based Family Podcast. This is part of Family Matters Ministry. For more information, check us out at gracebasedfamilies.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.